Let's speak together the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sin, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen. We're looking at this morning at the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is probably one of the most misunderstood and confused members of the Trinity. Some people have said that in many churches it's not the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but Father, Son, and Holy Scriptures. But it's not. It's the Holy Spirit. And its part is important for us and what he does in our lives. In Acts chapter 2, we see the Holy Spirit falling on the scenes, coming on the scenes in a mighty way. It says, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place, and suddenly the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. And they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that had separated and come on each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. And when they heard the sound, the crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard them speaking their own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, Are these not who speak Galileans? How is it that each one hears our own language? Parthians, Medes, and Elphaeans, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Pontus and Asia, Perga and Phlegmia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya near Syria, or Cyrene, visitors from both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretes and Arab, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they ask one another, what does this mean? And when we come to the Holy Spirit, sometimes people ask, what does this mean? What is this part of the Trinity that we talk about and we say and we have the mention in Scripture, but what does it actually mean for us? One of my favorite teachers that I used to listen to on the radio all the time was called Chuck Swindoll. Some of you may have heard of him. He talked one time that he decided that he needed to write something more about the Holy Spirit. So as every good pastor, you go back and you find your notes. And he looked under Holy Spirit. It wasn't there. Well, Holy Ghost, not there. He looked under Spirit. He looked under Trinity. He was trying to find, where did I put my notes, the things that I've written on the Holy Spirit? Finally, he found them. You know where? Under pneumatology. Yeah, that's the big word that only theologians use to mean the study of the Holy Spirit. That tells you how he was thinking about the Holy Spirit. In a more theological, in a more studied way. And for some people, that's the way it is. They look at the Holy Spirit as, yes, he's out there, we know he does something, but that's pretty much it. We don't know actually what's going on. We don't understand who he is. I grew up around a lot of charismatics, and when they spoke about the Holy Spirit, it was usually in reference to Acts chapter 2, which we just read. The ability of the Spirit to give signs and wonders, and of course the ability to evangelize. They talk about what God said in Acts chapter 1, verse number 8, when it says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, And you'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. And they loved. And there's an important part that we need to realize. God's Holy Spirit does empower us. But there's a lot of focus on the power and not on the person and all of what the Holy Spirit really does. I would actually argue that the empowerment as far as signs and wonders is actually the least important part of what the Holy Spirit does in the church. It's the one people like talking about the most. It's the one that's out there, but sometimes it's sort of like somebody saying, yeah, I just love the sound of their voice. Nobody ever said that to me. I've said people say, I've loved your preaching, I love the way you talk, I love the fact that you're loud enough I can hear you. But nobody's really said, I love the sound of your voice. Let's just say, this is not James Earl Jones, okay? I'm just not. And though some people I've heard them say, oh, I'll use James Earl Jones as an example. I could just listen to his voice all day. If he was reading the back of a cereal box, I could just love it. Let me be honest. If he was reading the back of a cereal box, or better yet, maybe the warnings you hear during a commercial about medicines, I don't think it would be that exciting. Really, what is it that makes the voice? It's not just the voice. It's what they're saying. It's the character of the person. It's the information that they are bestowing. Let's just be honest. When you hear James Earl Jones, if he was reading the back of a cereal box, that'd be like, oh, well, that's okay. But if he's reading the Bible, that'd be something totally different. Because what is being taught, what is being communicated, is vital. It's not just the sound, it's not just the noise, it's not just the presentation. It's what's behind it that matters. And with the Holy Spirit, a lot of people get caught up in the sound, in the noise. And they forget that the Holy Spirit is first and foremost a person. When we see the Holy Spirit spoke of in the Bible, it's always spoken of as a person. He shall come and bring you. He shall give you. There are some people out there that think the Holy Spirit is sort of like oil. That God sort of just pours out on top of you. No, that's not the Holy Spirit. And we can get that idea. When it talks about being filled with the Holy Spirit, you're usually not filled with a person. But there's something different about the way the Holy Spirit works, that this person can infill us and lead us and guide us. The Holy Spirit isn't just some impersonal force out there. It's something we need to recognize and we need to deal with. Because Jesus himself said, any sin will be forgiven, but the sin against the Holy Spirit will not be forgiven. What is so bad about that? We could argue about it all day, and we won't get into that today. But there's something special about the Holy Spirit. We see in John chapter 16, verses 13 and 14, it says, but when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, but he will speak only what he hears. And he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, because it is from me that you will receive what he will make known to you. Maybe summing that up is, the Holy Spirit's not talking for himself, he's talking for me. And when you get him, you're getting me. The interesting thing about the Holy Spirit, his ministry, sometimes it feels like it's behind the scenes. Yes, the Holy Spirit will take the lead if we'll let him, but he won't push his way in front. When the Bible talks about walking in the Spirit or following the leading of the Spirit, We've got to choose to go that way. The Holy Spirit doesn't come out in force and say, okay, I picked on this side last week. I'll come over here. Sorry, Leroy, you're the closest. Aren't you glad, Jessica, somebody else is in front of you? Okay, come on, get going. Come on, let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go. No, that you can sit back down now. I'm done with you. That's not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is gentle. The Holy Spirit says, follow me, and he wants to lead. And he'll sometimes share with us hard truths. But he doesn't come on the scene forcefully in a way that forces us to follow. He wants us to submit, us to be willing to listen. And in one sense, the Holy Spirit is very meek. He's got all this power and strength, but he's not going to force it upon you. He's not going to make you accept him or follow his leading. He's going to be there. And when you're ready and you're willing to listen and willing to allow him to lead you, he'll give you the power and the strength to do it. The problem is, sometimes we may say we believe in the Holy Spirit, but what we really are believing in is ourselves. I've got the plan. I've got it figured out. I know what to do. Some days it might be fun for you all to get a copy of my notes. Because this is kind of my plan. And sometimes when I get done, Dennis, I bet you've been there too. When you get done, you're like, that's not where I was planning on going. But that's sometimes it's a good thing. Because the Holy Spirit knows what the hearts of everyone who here is. And sometimes I think if he showed us ahead of time, we'd be like, no, God, that we don't want to go that way. That's silly. But yet, when we do follow him, and we do what he says, he gives us power. He gives us strength. The Holy Spirit gives us courage. We find that in Acts chapter 4, verse another 8. Peter and John were taken before the Sanhedrin, and they said, "You quit doing what you're doing." And it says, Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said. What gave him the courage? This is the guy who, not a couple months before, when somebody, a little girl came up and said, "Hey, I think you came with Jesus." "No, I don't know this guy. I don't know this man. I don't know what you're talking about. I'm out of here." Now he's standing up before the ruling body of Israel and saying, "No, we're standing for Jesus. We're standing in the power of Jesus, by the way, whom you crucified." Does this sound like the same guy to you? What happened? The Holy Spirit changed his heart and gave him courage. What did Jesus promise? See, that he'd make us witnesses. I'd say one of the greatest powers, one of the greatest witnesses we have in our lives to show that we're followers of Jesus is found in John chapter 13, verse number 35, when it says, "By this everyone shall know you are my disciples, if you love one another." When you allow the Holy Spirit to rule and reign in your life, he can fill your heart with love for others, even when they irritate you. even when they rub you the wrong way. When God can fill your heart to love people who don't like you or maybe even hate you, people notice that. How shall people know that you're my disciples? Because you have love one for another. In fact, I would argue that one of the greatest testimonies of the power of the Holy Spirit working in our lives is the fact that our lives are changed. We're no longer what we were, but He changes us to become something more. So when it says the power to become witnesses, that power isn't just signs and wonders, which is what a lot of people look at, but the work that Jesus does through the Holy Spirit in our lives to change who we are to be like Him. And when we follow Him and submit to Him, this Holy Spirit, He will change us. He will transform us. It's not just picking up a new habit. The Holy Spirit does something in our hearts and lives where we are changed. Romans chapter 8 verses 1 through 4 says, "There are now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because those in Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set them free from the law of sin and death. For what the law was powerless to do, because it was weak in the flesh, God did by sending His Son in the likeness of sinful flesh to be a sin offering. So as He condemned sin in the flesh, in order that righteousness requirement of the law might be fulfilled, might be fully met in us, who do not live according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." Here's the thing, when we walk according to the Spirit, we're not going to do the things that are wrong. That Spirit leads us and changes us, and our attitudes are different. Years ago, right after I was married, I came across around a corner, walking through a doorway, and my new bride thought she'd be fun. She thought it'd be so cute to go, boo! She has never done that since. I don't know who was more scared, her or me, who had my new bride pinned up to the wall with my fist back. I was like, oh my goodness, I need to have a change here. Something needs to change. Then I did, because I had a reaction. You can just see, that wasn't good. I'd react first and think later. Sort of like Peter, except he talked first and thought later. A few years after that, I was working in hospice, and I had this dear old lady look at me and say, yeah, that's what I did too, I leaned forward. Which meant I leaned right within her arm reach. You wouldn't think a 94-year-old lady would have such arm strength. Or could move so fast that she could punch me 3 times before I had a chance to react. I have never been hit so much or so hard in my life as I was that day. And I leaned back and said, that wasn't very nice. And then it dawned on me, I didn't hit her. I've been praying because I didn't realize they'd been warning me. This is going to happen sometime. And I've been praying, God, you need to change me. I don't need to react the way I used to, because punching a 95-year-old woman, even if she hit you first, is not going to go over well. How many of you think I'd kept my job if I'd punched this lady? Yeah, I thought y'all were smart. How many of you think that I'd have gotten in big trouble? Yeah. What changed? I'll tell you what, it wasn't anything I did. But I've been praying, God, I need to have a different reaction. And personally, I think it's the Holy Spirit changed my heart. change the way I react. Paul says in Galatians chapter 5, starting verse number 13, says, "You, brothers and sisters, were called to be free. Do not use this freedom as to indulge in the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, work really hard and maybe you'll get it right." How many of you know that isn't what it says? No. It says, "Walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh." Here's the thing. If we walk by the Spirit, we let the Holy Spirit that we believe in lead us and guide us. It will change us. It will make us like Christ. It will give us the power to live as He would have us live. That scripture goes on and says, this is the acts of the flesh and all the bad things that are going on. He says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. We can't picture the Spirit like we can picture Jesus. We can kind of get this idea of God as this great being. The Holy Spirit may feel a little strange to us, but He's there. And He's there to empower us and strengthen us in our lives. If we'll allow it, if we'll let it, if we let Him be who He is in us and through us. And here's the thing about the Holy Spirit. He doesn't change us into becoming something less than we are. I would argue, and this is the whole topic for another time, but we won't get into a lot, but I'll say this. The Holy Spirit makes us more of what we're supposed to be. Years ago, they used to have a commercial, I believe it was for an army, said, "Be all that you can be." That's what God wants. And through His Spirit, you can be all you were meant to be. But you have to be willing to walk. You have to be willing to follow. You have to be willing to say, "God, I don't understand it all. I know Scripture says it. Please lead me by Your Spirit." You might say, "That's great, Pastor, but I keep messing up." That's fine. Scriptures don't say, if you fall down, just give up. It says the righteous man falls 7 times and gets back up. I would, you know, you normally think a righteous person never makes a mistake. Right? Not according to that scripture. What makes a righteous person righteous is the fact that they fall and they get back up. What makes it great about being a Christian is we have a helper. We have the Holy Spirit that is there with us to help us, to lift us up when we fall, and to comfort us when we fail. I know there are times we need comforting in our lives. Things go wrong. Things are disappointing. You lose a loved one. We need the comforter, as it were. But I tell you what, far more often, I need comfort when I've messed up. I need someone to come alongside and say, I picked on Leroy earlier. I'm going to do it again. This will be a good one, though. We need someone to come alongside Say, it's okay. We'll do it better next time. We'll do this. And that's what he's there for. To give us that. To be that comforter. So even when we fail, he can lift us up, empower us to walk as he would have us. I believe in the Holy Spirit isn't just a line from our creed. It's something that when we believe it and live into it, changes everything for the believer. Dear Father, I ask now that, Father, you would fill us with your Spirit in a mighty way today. Lord, we know we have the Spirit within us, but Lord, we haven't always let him have full control to fill every area of our lives. So, Lord, we surrender to you today. Fill every area. We open ourselves up to you and say, God, fill us so that we may walk as you would have us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.